Hello and welcome to the Winding Roads Companion Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Lewiston, and I have with me in the studio, Macrame Mama Wisconsin. Can you introduce yourself?
Sure, thank you. So my name is Megan, and also known as the Macrame Mama Wisconsin. I started tying knots in actually 2024, where I took a workshop at a La Crosse County Library where they were offering it and inviting people at the beginner level to come out and learn. I realize now that it was kind of an ambitious class. And now I understand better that the instructor kind of cocked her head to the side and was like, huh. Because whenever I look at my first project, there was actually a whole like set of chords that were missing, but I still seemed to make it into what it was supposed to look like, I guess. So, but yeah, it was actually offered on a Saturday, and it was one of those Saturdays that was beautiful yet like snowy and sunny outside. And I was really waffling between, you know, should I commit to attending the class because I didn't want to stand up the library necessarily, but I'm really glad that I was able to go and enjoyed the opportunity to learn this new skill. I do come from a family of fiber artists and awesome. Do a lot of crochet and knitting and sewing, and I had dabbled in more of the sewing and not so much in the crochet or knitting, yet found macrame to really just be something that I enjoyed because I like the idea of it just being like my hands and the cord or the material.
Right.
Or
no extra tools required.
Yeah. So I did that in like late winter, early spring. And I really spent the next several months just practicing the basic knots.
It really captured. Your attention.
So I gathered some materials and watched a ton of like YouTube videos as well, just to kind of refresh what I had learned in the workshop, the class at the library, and was able to then be invited that fall to an anniversary of a local business that I am a part of, like as a patron, called the Motherhood Collective, that is in La Crosse. And she was having an anniversary for her business to celebrate and invited just a handful of people. And she said, would you want to sell some of your macrame pieces? And that was the first time I had been asked to even consider that. And then she said, well, what do you want to be called? And so because so much of my identity, I think, you know, right now is as a mama, which I enjoy and love, I really thought it would be fun to kind of include that macrame mama.
Yeah.
There are many around the world. Okay. So I wanted to stand out by adding the Wisconsin. And so that was a way that I was, you know, able to kind of bring in that. And I thought it would be helpful too, just so that people would know where I was from.
Yeah.
So there would be that connection and it would stand out from some of the other macrame mamas that are around. And so I, did my first booth, which is funny because I actually recently saw a video that I had taken of it on my phone in probably some kind of memory thing.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that was very, very nice that I had put that together. And
did you feel like there were like a lot of, was it sort of like a, wow, I've come so far?
Yeah, it really was. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think I had like one clothing rack, you know, of hanging stuff. And then I don't even know if I had like a table or anything. So, I mean, it was, it was very simple, which I think was good, and it was a good experience. And then I eventually waited until I think January of the next year to actually file for my LLC.
Very cool.
Because I started to get invited to different things, and I realized that I probably should go ahead and do that part of it. Otherwise, it would not be something I would have maybe prioritized. So then I also was really excited because a big part of my work is not only supporting like local library systems, because now I've actually done workshops, kind of come full circle, and done workshops at the library, both in La Crosse, downtown, and then the county library system. Mm-hmm. And I've actually done a workshop with Sparta Library, and I've also
I thought it was amazing.
I was totally blown away, and also have done one with La Crescent as well, and have another one planned with them for their like teen program this summer. So I'm really excited.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, I have so many questions, Megan.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, like, bless libraries and keep them. Mm-hmm. They are beautiful places, wonderful institutions, and how wonderful that you first learned this skill by taking part in a library program. I just think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I was just listening to a podcast or just like a short little radio segment this morning of an interview with a quilter that I really deeply admire. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how he considers himself to be community taught. And thought, you know, for a long time used the term self-taught to as a contrast to like someone who went to art school, right?
Sure.
You know, someone who did a program in textile arts or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, after he thought about it, he was like, you know, that actually doesn't ring true. I've been taught, like, I didn't pull this stuff out of thin air. I didn't make any of this up, you know, like, I just learned this from other people around me and from all of these resources that are freely and abundantly available. And so now he considers himself to be community taught.
I love that.
So when you talked about, like, your first experience with macrame being at the library, I was like, ah. Community teaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And shout out to Zach Foster if he ever listens to this podcast. Oh my gosh, I would die.
No, that's cool. No, might as well.
So I'm so curious. I mean, you said you took this class in 2024. Yeah. That's a pretty short amount of time to go from like first exposure to like an art craft form to having an LLC, and this is a side gig.
It is.
Right.
It is, yeah.
And so I would love for you to just say a little bit more about, like, how you balance all of that, because you are also a parent, right? Like, how does all of this work? How do you find the time?
So I actually, I was thinking about that earlier today as I was putting some shirts into a dye bath, which my fingers are blue, you know, so a nice reminder of that. But, you know, just really whenever I can.
Yeah.
So I do bring projects with me to different places. I will also try and do projects alongside my family. So one of the resources we have at the La Crosse Public Library is they have their Create Lab. And so my kiddo loves to go there. My spouse enjoys going there as well. And so I will bring my sewing machine and I'll hammer out like a number of projects while they're working on things.
Awesome.
And so I think just trying to figure out what that looks like. I also, you know, do so a big priority for me is as a mama is that I want to leave the world better than I found it. I'm very much a product of the, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, like body shop, you know, campaigns around, you know, take care of the earth and those kinds of things, which I appreciate, you know, having that influence and that foundation, because what I have found to be unique about my work and even how I present it is that so much of my materials are sourced secondhand. And so that really gives me a challenge, kind of by choice, to see something and wonder, okay, what is it that I can create with this, which has really helped with just, you know, kind of my bottom line, for sure, like just the costs on the front end. But I also try to pass that along to others, mm-hmm. you know, like the cost, because I know that it can be hard, especially, you know, just nowadays, which I'm sure that's
in this economy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't want initially cost to be a barrier.
Right.
And it's like I said, you know, like an outlet for me, because I do work in a field that can be stressful. And so this is a place where I can use my creativity that is not as stressful.
Yeah.
Where right. it's just really kind of, I can kind of run wild with it and share the joy of truly unique and like one of a kind pieces. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm not someone that's just cranking out like 20 of the same thing. That's
right.
That's actually really soul sucking for me. Sure. So that can be hard whenever people are like, hey, can you make this thing? You know, that's,
yeah,
I need 40 of them for a party or whatever and stuff. I mean, I can do those things, yet I really do like to have like that challenge of like, what sure. is it that I can create with this piece of material and, you know, this frame or, you know, mm-hmm. like this jacket and this kind of cord that deserves a second chance, a second life.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I think there is... I'm hearing this really wonderful economy kind of threading its way through mm-hmm. your work in mm-hmm. so many ways, like economy used broadly, the economy of time, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Making these things happen in this already kind of like busy life that mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. so that you can have that creative outlet yourself mm-hmm. and feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the like financial economy of sourcing things secondhand and the great value of secondhand or thrifted items being given that,
mm-hmm.
that additional life, that additional use, that repurpose.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's really neat. I would love for you to talk a little bit more about how macrame or... So you've talked about macrame and you've talked about sewing as kind of like mm-hmm. your two main modalities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do those things cross over or mm-hmm. meet mm-hmm. if they do?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would love to also just hear a little bit about, it sounds like you make aesthetically pleasing pieces that are both decorative and wearable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, take us through that landscape a little bit.
Sure, sure. So I think like a number of people, the challenge of accumulation is there, and realizing that I could pivot and make this like wearable art, I think
right.
was something that I got excited about once I kind of started seeing some inspiration around that. And
like rather than simply decorative pieces.
True. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
like, because I mean, those are easier to get out there whenever they're customized
mm-hmm.
because my idea of what something can be really beautiful may not be the same for other people.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that, again, because my, you know, I think macrame has this understandably bent towards like boho, you know, like mm-hmm. kind of more of the natural vibes, which I'm all about the natural fibers and everything, but mm-hmm. I'm also all about like really bright colors and
yeah.
not only doing, you know, natural, neutrals,
shades
those
of
kinds
beige.
Of things. Yes, exactly. And so
yeah.
I understand that market in the sense that that's what I usually have for my workshops
mm-hmm.
or even I have kits where people can learn, you know, the art of macrame
awesome.
On their own, where I've put together instructions and a video and all that kind of stuff.
Very cool.
And I know that that's what a lot of times people want, you know, mm-hmm. is more of a neutral thing. And I get that. And so that's where I'm excited to be a part of this tour, because I know that this is a an outlet, a place to celebrate that uniqueness, you know, in my work, and also to be able to meet people that are interested in that and you know, have questions. And so a lot of times I think about just even like the macrame, and even doing kind of these larger scale pieces that are mounted onto something, you know, so that it's not just like a wall hanging, but it's actually framed, or it's on some kind of a canvas, you know? So I see it as kind of like a way of painting with fiber, you know, of being able to bring, you know, kind of a story to life through the knots and just the ways that they, you know, the cord intertwines, and including metal, or, you know, including other materials as well, and dimension and all those things. So, so that's been something that's been interesting, you know, cause I was even at a market, you know, this last weekend, and the things that people really enjoy are the things that they can wear, you know, like I find that to be something that people really like, is having something that's a little bit more practical, you know, those kinds of things. So
it makes a statement.
Yeah.
But I, you know, like the ability to wear a piece of art feels like a value add.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's not just like this bespoke piece that I'm going to like hang on my wall and walk by.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm going to adorn my body with. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
And so that I think has been just fun for me to be able to connect with those people that are quirky, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
And so being able to also, you know, like one thing I've really gotten into as well is like, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, a lot of like applique, you know, like fabrics that are just out there, you know, like someone had good intention, like I often do as well, of like, I'm gonna buy this, you know, yard and a half of fabric that has like a series I just did was this carousel horse. So there was a pattern or like a carousel horse where you could cut it out and sew it and then stuff it, and it would be like a little carousel horse, you know, pillow or
a toy.
And so I'm not necessarily going to make it into that, but I'm able to put that on like a piece of clothing and kind of reimagine it in that way. And so I think there is something about nostalgia that is really powerful, and especially like with, you know, my generation coming into some of that as I've been confronted with like fashion from my high school being just available, you know, like
back around, right?
Being available at, you know, bigger stores, I guess, and stuff. And so realizing, okay, you know, there's something for all of us that's out there and that brings up a memory. Like I actually just, I also volunteer with Junior Achievement, which is like highlighting business and development and like how businesses work and regions and commerce and all that kind of stuff. And I actually just told the class that I was with today about the Big Mouth Billy Bass, you know, and how like that was a huge trend, right? You know, that was like all the rage. But then you know, like sometimes you go all in on that, and then you end up having to, you know, try to sell those for like, you know,
$5. Everybody's got that, got their Big Mouth Billy Bass with the batteries out.
At
the garage sale.
Exactly. But you know, I would venture to guess that now if you tried to find one, they would probably be pretty pricey.
You could
know,
find a nice one on eBay.
Oh So
the niche. Just
that, that nostalgia, you know, that's there and everything. And so it was actually funny to me because some of these kids seemed to think that they knew what I was talking about, which I was like, all right,
my gosh,
like, that's cool.
That's,
you know,
hilarious.
So, but I think, you know, just tapping into some of those things. And also like, I love getting to, I think challenge people to like, say, yeah, that looks amazing on you and you can totally pull that off. And just recognizing that it's a way to celebrate the person too.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's really important to me, especially with a kiddo, is wanting to celebrate everybody and and that being a size inclusive work or
Brand.
There we go. Sorry, I'm blanking out here.
Yeah.
But, you know, is really important to me as well.
Right.
You know, because I want there to be people that say, oh, this is in my size. Like, this is something I can wear.
Yeah.
Versus just walking by and thinking, oh, there's nothing over there, you know, for me. Mm-hmm. And so
I think that's a super important thing to shout out. Because that was something that was in your artist statement. It's something that you know, really put front and center with your wearable work. And I mean, as many artists as we can have going in that direction, the better. You know what I mean? I think that's really cool. And just the idea that, like, yeah, anyone who walks into your booth could find something that they could use to celebrate themselves and to adorn themselves, I think is really beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where it just, and even like I have kids apparel too, and, you know, just seeing the face light up, you know, to be like, wow, you know, like this is really unique and this is really cool, which I think, you know, is really foundational for any kid, you know, to have their own identity and feel like they can claim that rather than feeling pressure to look like and be like everybody else, you know, kind of a thing. So,
It strikes me that, like, especially for kiddos, clothing and style and, like, that development could be the first time that that as a human being they experience like a really embodied yes, right? Or like, you know, there are so many things, especially when kids are really young, where it's like, okay, I'm going here because an adult has brought me here. I'm sitting in this chair because an adult has sat me here. I'm eating this thing because somebody has decided that this is what we're eating, right? But like, clothing is one of the first avenues of self-expression for a tiny little developing human. And how cool to think about, like, the ability of a kid to be like, that's the shirt I want to wear today. Or like, that's the thing that I want to put on my body. That thing makes me feel good. It strikes me as very important.
Yeah. And that's even, I think, goes hand in hand with like the workshops too, is that often what I've found with even the adults that come, you know, there's unfortunately, I mean, I'll say from my own experience, there's like this cutoff at a certain age where like you're either artistic or you're not.
Right.
And that was fine art and everything else was not even considered or looked at or qualified. And so I would say I was in that category. Like I never thought I was an artist. And I interestingly, I got really into like more of the what was called desktop publishing whenever it first came out. I mean, I remember my first PowerPoint presentation I ever made my senior year of high school, you know, I mean, that was like significant technology,
right?
You know, and it really was, you know, I mean, it was being able to create this story and being able to animate it in a way. And I was just talking with a local business owner that does a lot of content creation and works with different organizations and businesses. And I told her, you know, I honestly think like Instagram Reels is like PowerPoint on steroids. You know, I mean, it's like the new version of that. It's bringing all those elements just in a different frame size, you know, and on a device versus on a computer screen. And so what I have realized though is that my art was just different, you know, like I was more interested in graphic design and more of that kind of technical maybe side of things. And a lot of it was just my own creativity and kind of exploring that and playing around with it. And so then what I have found is that there are so many adults that come to my workshops that have also had that narrative of like, you didn't make the cut, like you weren't the fine artist. And so, you know, you don't, maybe belong here or whatever. And yeah. So that's a big part of that is to try to tap into that child that was being formed and being told, like you just said, you know, being brought all these different places and, right. you know, told this is who you are, or this is how you act and all that kind of stuff. And it's amazing because often I'll start by asking, has anybody done macrame? And they'll say, no, never, you know, I have no idea. And I'm like, well, did you ever make friendship bracelets mm-hmm. as a kid? And they're like, oh yeah, well, yeah, I guess so, you know? And,
right.
And really it is the art of tying knots. So even mm-hmm. like, I was at a kids event recently and I just said, do the first part of tying your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a knot.
Yep.
You know, that is a knot. If you pull it all the way tight, you know, and you're doing it on, I have this community art piece that I bring with me to different events and I just ask people to tie knots on it and, you know, practice and just play around with it. And
mm-hmm.
people like to braid, you know, and that kind of thing. But that's a knot, and that is a part of macrame,
right.
you know? And so I think being able to help people connect with that and take away hopefully some of that shame and some of that fear of like, this is, you know, like my life depends on this, you know, kind of right. a thing.
Right. And, or like bad things will happen if I do this wrong.
Yes, yes, yes.
right.
And that's actually where I've learned, even as I've evolved in my, you know, practice of offering these workshops, is that I don't even bring an example anymore.
Oh.
Because I've found people get so wrapped up in the
trying to recreate it.
Yeah. And I'm like, mm-hmm. honestly, yours is not going to look like mine. I mean, I'm just, spoiler alert, you know. And so I say that because I am going to be one of the two artists in the tour this year that is doing workshops.
Yes.
And so I guess I want to create that. Like expectation
right.
that this is a place to come and learn and kind of play and just mm-hmm. enjoy and just see what you're able to create and then take it from there.
Uncover that artistic mm-hmm. instinct. Because, you know, when you talk about the idea of somebody sort of quote unquote making the cut as a fine artist versus somebody who's maybe more technically minded or is more focused in on like the skill or the craft of the
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is that feeling of or the lack of focus on instinct,
mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps a little bit more of a focus on like following step by step.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or, you know, like following a tutorial or something, right? Like we mm-hmm. have this picture of a fine artist that's just like
mm-hmm.
doing whatever on a canvas.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, like they're mm-hmm. certainly not following a tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
splashing paint
mm-hmm.
every
mm-hmm.
which way, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
According to, I don't know, how they feel moved, right?
Yeah. And I mean, same for like a potter, you know, or I mean, all the
right.
different mediums that are out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think,
mm-hmm.
though, that, like, sometimes, we can get a little bit caught up, especially when it comes to, like, textile arts.
Mm.
I know, like, I, mm-hmm. for sure, when I knit, I'm only now starting to kind of bust out on my own and, like, do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Spinning, for me, is definitely more of that, like, we're just going to see how it goes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it for the vibes. I'm not following a step-by-step tutorial when I do that. But it's very cool to hear that you have stopped bringing in example pieces
mm-hmm.
to your workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if you don't have anything to compare your own work to,
mm-hmm.
then you kind of have to just try it
mm-hmm.
without any sort of expectation.
And I've had people tell me that, you know, like at the end, that they were really glad in the end that I did not have mm-hmm. an example.
I
yet
imagine
at the beginning
little...
they were really frustrated, like
right.
they were really kind of like, I don't know if I can do this, and then they were like, no, I'm really glad, because I would have been that person that would have just been like, oh, like this does not look like hers, and
or
you know, and,
or you try to duplicate,
mm-hmm.
right, instead
yeah.
of
yeah.
having your own idea
mm-hmm.
about a thing, you're
mm-hmm.
just like, oh, I like that, I'm
mm-hmm.
gonna make it look
mm-hmm.
exactly like that,
yeah,
right,
yeah, And even just like the temptation of the comparison game, you know, like, oh, they're doing it so much faster than me, or they're doing it so much better than me. It's like, let's leave all that like at the door.
Right.
You know, like this is between you and the material and you and the design, and that's all that matters, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think that is another unexpected, you know, component of the work that I do through Macrame Mama, because I want to help normalize like what you're doing is great. Like enough, you know, it's a work in progress. Cause like, yeah, like my first pieces, like I said at the very beginning, you know, that first piece I have, every time I look at it on my wall, I'm just reminded that like, it's not perfect yet. It's complete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So this is, I believe, your first time on the Winding Roads art tour.
It is. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
It is.
And welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Then you're going to be at Sittin' Pretty Farms. Is that correct?
I am. Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. The previous podcast episode with Lauren McElroy, Lauren's also going to be at Sittin' Pretty.
I met her. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some really, really incredible, fiber art, as well as some beautiful two-dimensional visuals.
Mm-hmm.
And you are also, as you mentioned, hosting a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And based on what you said in this podcast today, it sounds like a really incredible space to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage anybody who's listening to make sure to sign up. You can find more information on the Winding Roads Art website under workshops. And just as a reminder, Winding Roads is not directly doing registration, but there's contact information on the website so that you can get in touch with Megan directly to register. And that is going to be
on Sunday.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So last day of the tour, you can take a workshop and leave the tour not only with all of the beautiful art that you will no doubt have purchased over the course of the weekend, but also something that you made yourself, which is pretty cool. We're very excited this 10th anniversary of the tour that we are sort of beta testing these workshops. And thank you so much for agreeing to host one. And I'm really excited to see how it goes.
Yeah, me too. I'm curious. So I intentionally am offering two, and one is more potentially younger person friendly, because I think the jar one is going to be a little bit harder. I mean, it depends, you know.
Sure.
Everybody knows their people, so whatever they think, but one is focused on a more of a rainbow design, and one is a really great project for foundational macrame knots that'll really set anyone up for success if they want to continue on to practice the foundation pieces so that they can then hopefully expand upon that. So and have that confidence to be able to do other things.
Learn the skill and then transfer it.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome. Well, as we wrap up here, I would love for you to share any other upcoming events that you've got going on between now and Winding Roads, or, you know, tell us where we can find you.
Sure. So I am really excited about partnering with the Sustainability Institute in the La Crosse area for their Earth Fair on Sunday.
That's April 26th.
Yes.
Yeah?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll be there and vending and excited about that. It's interesting now that I'm going to these events as a vendor or artist that I've attended as like a community member. So I'm excited about that opportunity. I'm also doing a workshop, actually a macrame rainbow workshop with the Holman Area Community Center on Monday the 27th. And then after that, I'm going to be vending at Market on Market in La Crosse, which is like 50 vendors. They have
cool.
I think this time around is going to be barbecue as the food vendor, and then there'll be a musician there. And this is my first time to do this market. I'm excited because a lot of my market friends have been very active in it. And so the opportunity to be a part of that magic and just all the good vibes there, I'm excited about. And then I do have the Winding Roads art tour. And then I'm also really excited about, I guess there is a Mighty River arts tour that's happening in La Crosse area. Mm-hmm. So I am hoping to be a part of that. One of the locations where I've done workshops, and I've also, I have my products for sale there, and Art Pop, which is
I love Art Pop.
Yeah so they are mm-hmm. one of those stops, and I said, hey, can I be at your location, and they were gracious Amazing. Enough to say yes to host me. And so Incredible. I love that space. It's just like so inspiring, and so I'm excited about being there for that. But well, otherwise,
hopefully there's a bakery across the street that's up and running.
I know. I actually just read an update about that. But I'm doing Ashley for the Arts in Arcadia again, which was a big kind of fun surprise. I mean, that was a pretty intense undertaking for me because it's, 2 days, two long days
and
outside, sure. like, so, but I really am excited to be back because that was definitely a fun, just people were excited to be there and be able to be a part of that.
Well, it seems like you got a full summer.
So yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it's definitely been, you mentioned, kind of the time management and some of those things, like it's just trying to figure out, what is really possible and sustainable, what is it that makes the most sense in that way? And so I'm excited to get to be a part of, these different community events, and honored to be on this tour. I mean, I couldn't believe it whenever I got the notice and everything, and so really thankful.
Well, we're so excited to have you, and I really do feel like your work will resonate in some very cool ways with the patrons that that join the tour, and that attend and take a look at everybody's work. I think here, as in La Crosse, it's like we got people of all stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of room for expression and beauty and adornment. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah. Yay. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Megan.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.